to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, August 21st, 2022, by Eric Williams.
On Monday, my wife and I were driving back from our vacation in the Berkshires with our daughter Emily, and we were listening to podcasts. I love listening to podcasts, and one of my favorites is Freakonomics, which is not really about money, but about how human behavior is a really weird thing. They talk to all these different scholars of different stripes. And the question for this week's episode was, why is the media so negative? Maybe you've noticed the media can sometimes be negative. Why are all those stories negative? And they talk to an economist, and they talk to journalists, and they talk to social scientists, and one of the reasons was that it is apparently baked into us human beings as part of our evolution that we are good at assessing risks and thinking the most negative thought first. Because, you know, if you're encountering a saber-toothed tiger, if you're too optimistic and say, here, kitty, kitty, things can go very badly, very fast. So it's better to think negatively at first. So that's hardwired into us, apparently. But also, we have encountered changes over society, and one of the most difficult has been the rapid rise of social media as a way of getting stories out. And social media, unlike some other forms of media, only makes their money on getting your attention. And they know that the best way to get your attention is to get you angry. That is part of their algorithm. That's part of how social media works. They did this whole AI study of words that are used in social media posts, and the ones that get the most hits and the most energy and the most attraction are the ones that are talking badly about the other side. So some polarized issue, the ones that mention the other side get more hits than the ones that don't. We get inflamed. The longer you're on social media, the angrier you get. And there's another thing that happens with social media that particularly affects younger people, but it happens to all of us in one way or another. And that is that we begin to think badly about ourselves. Because when we look at social media, we see the carefully curated stories about other people who are honestly better looking, better dressed, having a much better time, and much more popular and interesting than we are. At least that's how it appears, right? Because they put on this very nice show on social media, and we compare ourselves to that. There have been a lot of studies of depression in young people, and this is a major factor. One study took people off of Facebook for a month and found that they were less politically, hyped up, and generally happier after a month away from social media. So we know this is an operating thing. Now, why do I say all this about negativity? Because I see the power of negativity in our scriptures today. I see it in a couple of ways. The prophet Jeremiah is called by God, and like almost everybody in the Hebrew scriptures, when God comes knocking at an important person's door and says, hey, I've got a job for you, what do they usually say? No, thank you. No, I'm busy that day. Talk to somebody else. And they come up with a lot of different excuses. The most extreme was the prophet Jonah, who was so opposed to doing what God wanted that he ran all the way to the other side of the world, and God had to drag him there in the belly of a fish. So that's how extreme Jonah was. But Jeremiah, too, is not so sure that this calling is for him. His first response is negative. I can't possibly do it, God. I'm just a kid. We need somebody who's older, more mature, more seasoned. For Moses, it was his speech impediment. He was a stutterer. How can I speak to Pharaoh when I can hardly speak to my own family? Everybody had a reason, and their first inclination was no. In our gospel, we get a very different kind of negativity. Jesus encounters a woman at the synagogue on the Sabbath who has been bent over, crippled, for 18 years. It's hard to imagine how difficult this woman's life must have been. And so Jesus, moved with compassion, heals her, lays hands on her. Interesting that God lays hands on Jeremiah, on his mouth, and Jesus lays hands on this woman. An important part of healing in many of the scripture stories. But when he heals her, this is immediately responded to with negativity. How dare you, Jesus, heal this woman? Now, it wasn't the healing that was the problem, but he had done it on the wrong day. This was the Sabbath. No work should be done according to the leader of the synagogue. It violated the law of the Hebrew Bible that no work should be done on the Sabbath. How dare you, Jesus? You had 6 days to heal her. Why heal her on this day? And Jesus points out that this negativity isn't even consistent, because everybody actually violates the Sabbath in one way or another. Negativity is an important factor in our own lives as well. We struggle, I think, with the same issues of legalism and of poor self-image. When we look in the mirror, most of us, the first thing we don't say is, "You are an amazing person, made in the image of God. How glorious God is to have made this amazing person," right? That's not your morning routine in the mirror. No, it's, "Where did that wrinkle come from? Gray hairs? Where did they start? When did they start appearing?" Right? We see all of the flaws. We look at ourselves and we see everything wrong. We can recount, most of us, a litany of all of our negative traits. Not that smart, not that good looking, put on a couple extra pounds on that vacation, shouldn't have had those desserts. Boy, that knee is acting up again. I think of all the things, you know, in our confession today, I want to tell you, I love our confession prayer, but it gets me every time. The things we have done and the things we have left undone. Oh, that hits me every time, because my list of things undone is way longer than my list of things done, the good and the bad. That's what convicts me. When I look in the mirror, I see all those faults. I'm sure I'm not alone in recognizing that negativity is a huge factor. And we're hypercritical of other people. We're hard on ourselves, we're hard on other people. We think that they're not measuring up to what they should be doing. We live in this constant state of perfectionism and disillusionment. And that negativity can poison our relationships with God and other people. What we need is a little bit of an attitude adjustment. We are mourning the loss this week of our beloved friend Carl, who passed away yesterday morning. And I don't want to make this sermon a eulogy, but I do want to say that one of the people who always reminded me about the good in life and the good in me was Carl Jones. Even in his last days, when he was suffering terribly with his cancer, he thought and spoke about the other and how precious people were in his life. And he would say that to you all today if he were here. But it's one of the legacies of Carl Jones for me, is to stop being so negative, because Carl was a voice and an agent of positivity. When we look in the mirror, I hope that we can begin to shift our attitude to see the beauty and glory that God has made. We are made, all of us, in God's image. We are made to glorify God and to share the love and compassion of Jesus Christ. When God looked at Jeremiah, he didn't see someone who was too young, who was unfit. He saw Jeremiah more clearly than Jeremiah could see himself. He saw how Jeremiah was the perfect person to do the work that God needed to do. And boy, it was a hard job, but Jeremiah was up to it, and God knew that and saw that. When Jesus looked at the woman in the synagogue, he did not see another sad, crippled person. He saw a human being who was radiant with the light of God, and he called out of her her true self and potential. That's what that healing did. And I imagine that the healing was as much spiritual as it was physical, as it always is for us. We need the healing of an attitude adjustment to allow ourselves to begin to see us as God sees us, to allow us to see others as God sees them, luminous beings created in the image of God, glorious with the light of God's presence and love and compassion. We need to silence somehow in our minds and hearts those voices of negativity. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not enough. You are enough. And so are your neighbors. If we could see this room of human beings as God sees us right now, we would be in awe of the glory of God. C.S. Lewis, I believe, once said that we should genuflect to the sacrament, but more importantly, we should genuflect to one another, because in each one of us is the living presence of God. May today and in the days to come, we see the world like our beloved friend and brother Carl did, as a place full of joy and music and light and potential. May we see ourselves and each other as God sees us, full of love, light, and glory.